Hello, my name is Josh.
I'm Jamie.
Welcome to Recruiters to Two Geeks, the podcast where we're talking about movies, comics, and everything in between. Today we're going to be talking about everything from Blade and or Stranger Things, among other productions affected by the writer's strike, to our non-spoiler thoughts on Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3, and so much more.
Also, feel free to follow us on all our social media platforms. We're on Twitter and TikTok at Convo with Two Geeks. We're also on Facebook and Instagram at Conversation with Two Geeks. And if you want to send us an email about anything from one of this episode or one of our other episodes, we're at conversationwithtwogeeks@gmail.com.
You can also find back catalog on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or our podcasts to listen to. How are you today, Jamie?
I'm doing okay. How are you doing?
I'm good. I've only had 3 hours of sleep.
Aww.
Yeah. I let's just say last night was a long night, and the night before that was also a long night. Mainly because of work, my other job and stuff, but yeah, I've been busy and stuff. Also busy working on something really cool. So, yeah. Let me give folks a heads up right now. Next week, isn't going to be a necessarily normal episode. We're going to revive something that we kind of started doing, but then we kind of stopped doing, but in which, we're going to be recording our, special episodes on a certain movie. Spider-Man Into Spider-Verse.
Yeah. With the upcoming new Spider-Man Spider-Verse maybe coming out, you're gonna watch the first one. And stuff. But you wanna tell them where it's gonna be on?
And it's going to be on our Patreon. Yes, folks, we have a Patreon. We finally signed the bullet on that. And yes, we will be having a Patreon. Our tiers are going to be $3, where it basically gives you early access to episodes. $5, which gives you early access to episodes, but also access to special episodes. And $10 will not only give you access to early access episodes, access to special episodes, but also you get to vote on which episode. Special episode Jamie and I have to do. You'll get in a weekly poll and stuff. And then finally for our fourth tier rewards, or as I call them, tier rewards, you'll get access to everything plus access to an off-the-cuff Q&A episode where Jamie and I talk about everything that's happened in our month. It's going to be a monthly Q&A and stuff, which we kind of talk about what happened in our own personal lives in the month, as well as just everything going on and stuff. We also get to answer questions and stuff. So it's what I like to call an a la mode sort of thing. But it's but the off the cuff Q&A is what I like to call our Super Friends episode.
Okay, sounds good.
So yeah, if you're a $3 patron, you get early access to episodes a day before they go up to Spotify. If you're a $5 patron, you get access to our special episodes. If you're a $10 patron, you get early access episodes, access to special episodes, but also get to vote on which special episodes we get next. And if you're a $15 patron, you get access to all of that, plus access to our off-the-cuff Q&A episode that we do monthly. So, yeah. The page should be live as soon as this episode is up and stuff, so definitely check it out in the show notes, and yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll have a link to the Patreon in the show notes, and you could check it out. Also, if you aren't in the position to be able to support on Patreon, that's totally fine. No pressure in that regard. Basically, what it is we're just hoping to get some extra money to help improve the show and to do some other stuff with that. But also the other thing is you could just share the links to the show and tell your friends about the podcast in general, and hopefully we get some more listeners. So
definitely. And don't feel obligated, but just you know, definitely spread the word around.
Yeah.
Spread the common word.
For sure.
All right. Let's get into our first topic of the day. Oh boy. According to THR, a number of television shows and movies are being affected by the writer's strike after negotiations faltered between the Writers Guild of America and the Alliance of Motion Picture and Television Producers, or the AMPTP. This includes, but not limited to, Netflix's Stranger Things, all the late-night talk shows such as ABC's Jimmy Kimmel Live, CBS's Late Show with Stephen Colbert, NBC's Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon, Late Night with Seth Meyers, Comedy Central's Daily Show, HBO's Real Time with Bill Maher, and Last Week Tonight with John Oliver, just to name a few, NBC's Saturday Night Live, CBS's The Talk, as that has some WGA writers, the second season of Andor, for which after being accused of scamming, showrunner Tony Gilroy recently stated to THR that he has been not working on the show since May 2nd. Apple TV Plus's Loot, which production shut down following picketers shutting down filming, and Marvel Studios' and Disney Plus's Daredevil Born Again, for which WGA members picketed in front of set, and members of Teamster Local 817 and IATSE Local 829 and 52 refusing to cross the picket line. Additionally, according to THR, Marvel Studios' Blade, which was said to have Mahershala Ali play titular Vampire Hunter, has shut down pre-production in Atlanta, where filming was supposed to commence. According to the report, despite getting True Detective creator Nick Pezzaliato to work on the script, time simply ran out, with the studio planning on restarting production once the strike is over. And finally, according to THR, Disney and Warner Brothers Discovery sent out letters to showrunners employed by the company's various studios, reminding striking writer producers that they are still expected to perform their contractually obligated non-writing services, with both letters being sent on May 2nd and 3rd, the day of and after the strike was announced, according to the memo by ABC Signature, from ABC Signature, so this is the one from ABC, penned by the assistant chief counsel for Bob McNeil. We want to specifically reiterate to you as a showrunner or other writer producers that you are not excused from performing your duties as a showrunner and or producer on your series as a result of the WGA strike. Your personal services with agreement with the studio requires you to perform your showrunner and or producing duties, even if the WGA attempts to fine you for performing such services during the strike. Your duties as a showrunner and or producer are not excused, suspended, or terminated until and unless you are so notified in writing by the studio. This memo from Disney also included a Q&A about, like, a strike and stuff. As for WB, its memo reads, HBO Association Max respects your membership in WGA and will not do anything to place you in jeopardy of violating WGA rules. However, we believe in certain services, such as participating in the casting process and or contributing to the non-writing production and post-production work, are clear examples of non-WGA required services that should continue to be rendered during this time. The WGA cannot prohibit you from rendering, producing services pertinent to your personal service agreement as long as you're providing non-writing services, which I just think is a total bull and malarkey because, first off, producing is writing. There is thing as ADR.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's just a mess. It really is. And the studios are trying to keep things going because the writer's strike is actually, I feel like, kind of helping because it's actually stopping stuff from getting done, which is mm-hmm. what they don't want because the studios are going to lose money.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
so it's working right now, it feels like, and the studios are not happy about it. And the people just need to keep going and keep striking, and hopefully eventually the studios get their heads out of their asses and figure it out. So
yeah, they really do.
Because they're losing way more money now than they would have been if they would have just paid their writers more fairly. So they're going to end up losing more money this way.
Yeah, they are. It's just, it's dumb, and it's just like 2% people. No, not even... 2 to 3%.
Isn't it like 2 or 3% or something like that?
I think it's around that, but like 2 to 3%. That's all we're fucking asking. Well, they're asking, but just
it's just a problem with corporate and big companies in general. Because I'm kind of facing this at work as well. Mm. Is companies just want all the freaking money? They really do, and they do not care about their workers, and it's really unfortunate, and it just sucks because they don't want to pay their people a fair wage and a livable wage, and regardless, and it's not cool. It's
Yeah,
not cool.
it definitely isn't. And I'm just like again, 2 to 3%. That's all people are asking for. And it's just
Not a
like
lot.
it's not a lot. And like you can afford it.
And the fact that they want to use AI and have AI write the scripts and then have writers come back and fix it later, that's not going to fly either. So,
Yeah, no, that
and the
definitely isn't.
AI is not going to solve all of their problems. It's just going to make stuff worse.
Yeah,
So.
definitely will. Definitely will. All right, moving on to our next topic. According to Variety, Warner Brothers has announced that Beetlejuice 2 will be released on the big screen on September 6, 2024, with Tim Burton officially set to direct, and Netflix's Wednesday creators Alfred Gough and Miles Millar writing the screenplay, while Michael Keaton and Winona Ryder set to reprise the role as Beetlejuice and Lydia Deetz, respectively, with Jenna Ortega and Jessica Rowe joining the cast. According to the report, Ortega will be playing the daughter of Ryder's character, while Theroux's role has yet to be revealed. Production is set to commence in London on May 10th, which was okay. This is funny because, like, technically that was yesterday. So, yeah. Also, I'm just gonna say this right now, they're not gonna be able to keep that release date.
Probably not, no.
Yeah, because
Take all of the release dates of a tentative like asterisk next to it because this writer's strike's not stopping anytime soon. So
there's gonna be some stuff delayed, folks. Just be prepared.
unless it's already done writing and it's already in some sort of production, the odds of it keeping its release date is not very high.
Yeah, like for example, I know this is kind of off topic, but I know that Gunn has a very specific release date for Superman Legacy. It might have to be pushed back a year to another date because of that.
That's very much possible. Honestly, I didn't even think about that because we're very early in that process, and so I wouldn't be surprised.
I mean, he
So.
did say he had a first draft done. And he was able to turn it in before the strike happened. And like at
I
this
mean,
point,
that's good. That's something,
I
but.
mean, then you gotta figure out like casting and stuff, and it's a whole
It's
thing.
gonna be,
Anyways,
yeah.
back to Beetlejuice. So it looks like this is a thing. This is an actual thing. 'Cause I remember when this was first reported, we were, I think, I don't know if we did talk about it. I think I might have put it up as an option to talk about, but I wind up cutting it because I didn't know if it was actually true or not.
Because I feel like the Beetlejuice sequel has kind of come up a couple of times, and it's kind of been in flux. So it's interesting now that it seems like we're getting a little bit more concrete. Like this is actually happening. They got Winona Ryder and Michael Keaton back. So,
And also Jenna Ortega
yeah.
officially signed on, and it's going to be done by the Wednesday guys.
Makes sense.
Yeah, which does make sense. Although I know a lot of people now know him as the Wednesday guys. I know him personally as the Smallville guys.
Yeah.
Somebody. Look, I couldn't resist, okay?
It's okay. It's
It's
okay.
a classic reason. Also, I just realized it kind of connected back to what I was talking about earlier with Superman.
Yeah, it did. It did good through line.
Yay! There was a few going through that. But yeah,
Yeah.
no, this should be interesting. And Jessica Rowe joining the cast should be also interesting as well. I'm just, yeah. But yeah, no, that thing time. But yeah, no. Anyway, moving on to our next topic. And some more casting news. According to The Wrap, The Boys star Carl Urban is in final talks to star as fan favorite character Johnny Cage in the sequel to New Line's hit 2021 action adventure film, based on the blockbuster video game franchise, but Director Simon McQueen set to return in Moon Knight. Showrunner slash head writer Jeremy Slater writing the screenplay. In the Games, Cage, a swashbuckling action movie star with an extensive martial arts background, is one of the primary heroes defending Earth realm from various threats and known for his signature moves and fatalities. Okay, I'm down with this casting, although he's a little bit older than I was expecting. But I think Carl Urban is like in his like late 30s, 40s, I think.
Right around there, yeah.
So I was expecting him to go a little bit younger, but hey, look, he fits the role. This is kind of a departure from Zane. I love Carl Urban.
Yeah.
He's just great, whether he's in the.
He has good charisma, so he'll probably have a lot of fun with this.
Oh yeah,
So,
he's gonna have a ball with this because
yeah.
Johnny Cage, and
Yeah.
also now I have the theme song stuck in my head. But yeah, no, this is interesting. What are your thoughts on this?
I mean, it sounds cool. I mean, I'm not huge into Mortal Kombat, to be honest, but I think it'll be fun and he'll do a good job.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, no, definitely. Yeah, no, I'm pretty stoked about this one. And yeah. All right, moving on to our next topic. We got a second trailer for Oppenheimer, Assassin's Creed. It's written and directed by Christopher Nolan. Oppenheimer is an IMAX shot epic thriller that thrusts audience into the pulse-pounding paradox of the enigmatic man who must risk destroying the world in order to save it. The film stars Cillian Murphy as J. Robert Oppenheimer, Emily Blunt, Matt Damon, Robert Downey Jr., Florence Pugh, Benny Safdie, Sky High star Michael Angelino, Josh Hartnett, Rami Malek, Kenneth Branagh, Dane DeHaan, David Krumholtz, Alden Ehrenreich, Matthew Modine, Josh Peck, and the gifted star Emma Dumont, with the film set to be released on July 21st. So this trailer was interesting because like it kind of premiered in front of Guardians. So I saw this trailer like before it hit the internet and stuff, and yeah, no, this movie is gonna be very interesting. Because like I think it's at like two different you can easily tell it's at like two different time periods. Then again, we did like for example, like I think that the first half of the movie is gonna be set in color and stuff, and then the second half is gonna be set in black and white.
Interesting.
And also, like, we did get a shot of Florence Pugh, but it was in color.
Yeah, it's gonna be. There's a lot of people casted in this movie, and so it's gonna be interesting to see how much screen time everybody gets, to be honest. Because this is like a stacked cast. This is not. This has people have some sort of resume behind them, so it's gonna be interesting to see how this turns out. I'm still loving that this is premiering the same day as Barbie. It's hilarious.
Yes.
It's so funny to me. I can't get over it. And it's just kind of perfect. It's very funny.
I mean, I'm still planning my double feature of Oppenheimer than Barbie.
Though I feel like you're not the only one. I feel like everybody's kind of like, okay, we're gonna go see Oppenheimer and then we're gonna go see Barbie.
Yeah, because we start off very depressing, and then we start off with like sunshine and lollipops and rainbows. I know that's not technically Barbie, but that's what I'm thinking right now.
Oh, well, it's very accurate. It's very accurate.
Also, just the fact that we got Michael Angelino and Josh Peck in this movie is just like the 2000s. Also, with like another topic that I was going to include, but then like it show but then it, we locked in the show notes already. It seems like the early 2000s are coming back with a very strong force.
It's very possible.
Especially between that and I might as well just reveal it. The Freaky Friday news.
Yeah, we should have put that in there.
Yeah, I'm kind of regretting not putting that in. But I'll just say this right now. But the
But
2000s are coming back with a strong force.
yep, for
Especially given
sure.
we have two big 2000 stars in this movie.
Yeah, that's very true. Very true.
I mean, of course, Cillian and Matt Damon and Emily Blunt, don't get me wrong, but like Josh Peck is in this movie, y'all.
That's wild, to be honest.
It very much is. And also Josh Hartnett's in this movie.
I know. There's a lot of people in this movie. It's a lot. It's going to be very interesting to see how they balance that out.
Yeah, no,
So.
definitely, definitely. But if there's anyone that can balance it out, it's the man, Christopher Nolan.
Yeah, for
Yeah.
sure.
All right. Anyway, moving on to our next topic. We got an official trailer for. Okay, the title is like Meg 2, but I'm just going to call it the Meg 2. The Trench. Synopsis reads, "Get ready for the ultimate adrenaline rush this summer in Meg 2, The Trench. A literally larger-than-life thrill ride that supersizes the 2018 blockbuster and takes the action to higher heights and even greater depths with multiple massive Megs and so much more. Dive into uncharted waters with Jason Statham and global action icon Wu Jing as they lead a daring research team on an exploratory dive into the deepest depths of the ocean. Their voyage spirals into chaos when a malevolent mining operation threatens their mission and forces them into a high-stakes battle for survival. Pitted against colossal Megs and relentless environmental plunderers, our heroes must outrun, outsmart, and outswim their merciless predators in a pulse-pounding race against time. Directed by Ben Wheatley, the film stars Jason Statham, Wu Jing, Sienna Gilroy, Sophia Kai, Paige Kennedy, Sergio Pérez Mecheta, Skyler Samuels, and Cliff Curtis, and it's set to be released on August 4th. Okay, so for those that don't know who the director is, the director is Ben Wheatley, who's previously done movies such as High Rise, and Free Fire with Brie Larson and a certain now Hollywood cannibal, Armie Hammer. And he also, I think, was at one point attached to a Lara Croft movie that didn't go through, sadly. But yeah, this looks nuts.
Yeah, I didn't see the first one. I don't do well with like. It's also why I really haven't seen Jaws. I don't do well with giant aquatic eating creatures. It's not my thing. It's a little too much. But I mean, the trailer looked crazy. I was just surprised how many of like the trope of like the like people getting eaten. Because there's a lot in the trailer. I was a little bit surprised.
I
Like,
was as well.
I was a little, like, especially like the cup. I think there was like a couple on that little like paddle boat or whatever, kind of near the end. They're on the beach and it sees like you see it, the Meg coming and they go eat it. It was kind of funny.
It was, and like as someone that has seen the first movie, which was it was all right. We didn't get that level of carnage. There were some moments
I
where it
feel
was
like that's
painful.
changing this movie.
Oh yeah, no. As soon as we really came up, look, we're gonna kind of promise the audience just some carnage, and it looks like it's gonna deliver. Like I just, yeah. And then also just the Barracuda,
Yeah, it was a good song choice.
by heart. I'm just like, oh my God.
Yeah.
You might you. Here's my ticket.
I feel like it's very much. It kind of reminds me a little bit of Sharknado kind of vibe. Like a better produced Sharknado kind of thing. Maybe just kind
Sharknado
of. Just kind of crazy, like action, like a lot of like deaths, evil creature, like chasing everybody, eating everybody. Like, I kind of get that vibe a little bit.
I was thinking more like Sharknado with like a $250 million budget. And Jason
Yeah.
Statham.
Yeah.
And Jason Statham. Oh, okay. Let me see if I can turn to a Jason Statham voice. And Jesus. I might not be able to do a Jason Statham voice, folks. I'm sorry.
Okay.
But Jason Statham. And just. He's on a ski. He's on a jet ski!
I know. It's gonna be cool. It'll be probably be a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah, no, definitely, definitely. Okay, thank you. All right. Anyway, moving on to our second to last topic. According to Deadline, the w Directors Guild of America, the DGA, has released a new video outlining its bargaining position on the eve of its contractual negotiations with the AMPTP, aka the Alliance of Motion Picture Television Producers, those guys again. With the chair of the D. The DGA's negotiating committee, John Abnett, and co-chairs Karen Gavolia and Tom Holland, saying in VO, which includes so their position is securing wage increases and just inflation, maintaining the strength and sustainability of our world-class pension and healthcare plans, negotiating meaningful increases and structural changes to the streaming resume formulas that account for the growth of the audience, protecting the role and vision of directors, protecting our jurisdiction over projects produced abroad for U.S. audiences, improving safety on the set by expanding and encouraging training and addressing long work days, increasing diversity, equity, and inclusion, and strengthening the voices of underrepresented people, looking out for a full directorial team, the assistant directors, the UPMs, unit production managers, they're like the first guys you see in the credits, associate directors, and stage managers who sustain every production with their hard work and professionalism. So this is the goals that they're trying to do with their bargaining position and stuff. And I'm a little okay with the DGA stuff because now they're negotiating and stuff. I'm a little scared to be perfectly honest because I was talking with some friends and it's completely off the record and stuff. But I'm concerned that the AMPTP is going to pull some tactics to try to break. You know how we're having a big, huge solidarity moment between like SAG and the DGA and stuff? I'm a little bit concerned that they're going to try to break that.
Yeah, because this is a strike that everybody's kind of been very unified with and stuff, and that's why it's been going pretty well. Because normally I feel like that's not the case, so yeah, that could be a little bit concerning. Yeah, I can understand that.
I mean, I'm rooting for them. I really am, but like I'm a little concerned, but you know, I'm crossing my fingers. Because like I just yeah. Also, as someone that has worked on sets before, one of the things I am liking the fact that they are addressing the long work days, because holy shit, you could if you've ever worked on a film set, they are some long ass hours.
Yeah, no, that's good, definitely.
It's oh boy. Anyway, moving on to our last sobbing, and this is some rumor mill, folks, so take it with a grain of salt. Exclusive from the Cosmic Circus reveals that Marvel Studios has now decided on a fall release window for the second season of Loki, with the season most likely to premiere on Disney Plus in October 2023, as opposed to the September date that was previously speculated for release. According to the exclusive, this shift in dates from September to October is due to production on the season hitting a snag with the aforementioned climate in the entertainment industry as of late, with the studio have had discussions with considering with the option of delaying the release of Loki season two due to several of also several other issues. At one time, even there was a point where Marvel had placed the second season of Loki on a definite to be determined date before deciding to move ahead, with the main concern being storyline issues, as Mar with Marvel wanting to ensure the story is as strong as possible before releasing it to the fans. Then there's also the Jonathan Majors of it all, for which Marvel and Disney are closely monitoring the case before making any official decision, and if push comes up, has already started making preparations for recasting King the Conqueror. So we didn't necessarily talk about that. I made a unilateral decision on that because that's just.
Well, how, like, it's been so long since the season one. I was saying, was King the Conqueror, the character in general, was he supposed to be in season two?
Yeah, he was in the post-credits scene for Quantumanium.
Oh, okay.
And also just like he was planning to be like Marvel's big new
Because I was
bad.
wondering if they could kind of just, like, if it was the case where they could kind of skirt around it, but I guess not. That makes sense.
Yeah, they did show a lot of him. They
That's a
showed like
shame.
multiple, but like I could easily be like, yeah, about those guys. We killed them off.
Yeah.
We killed them off screen, and there's only like a few left running around.
Yeah, well, we'll see what they decide to do. That kind of sucks.
Again, I'm not commenting because it involves just certain shit that we just that for reasons, for multiple reasons actually, we decided just not report on because it's way too out of our fucking wheelhouse.
Yeah.
But as for everything else, I'm not surprised in the delay, especially with, you know, the strike. I imagine that they probably have been in post production for probably a hot second. So I think they'll be fine. It's just I'm just surprised at the month. It's just it seems like it's just being pushed back just a month.
It's not that bad, to be
It's
honest.
yeah, it's not that bad. It could be worse, but like, especially considering everything else, we might have another Flash situation on us where it has to be released because, you know.
Well, yeah, if it involves, unfortunately, if it involves King the Conqueror, it there's like it's kind of important because he's kind of being set up as the big bad of this phase. Of these phases, so it's gonna be just a tricky situation. So we'll see what they decide to do.
Yeah, definitely, definitely, definitely. All right, and then that leads us into our recommendations where so you haven't seen it yet, so we'll mostly stick with non-spoilers for the moment. But I saw Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3 and it was great. Director James Gunn and company made a phenomenal swan song to this lovely band of misfit filled with a ton of heart, action, thrills, and emotion. In addition, the cast, old and new, was great with everyone giving their all, though if there was a standout, it's definitely Bradley Cooper as the voice of Rocket. Overall, Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3 was a phenomenal swan song for director James Gunn and company with some great performances, visual effects, and heart to boot. Definitely recommend checking this out. And I will say, as someone, I've been listening to the goddamn soundtrack, and it's also, Dog Days Are Over.
Yeah, I heard that that's like one spoiler that I heard is that that song's in it. I'm like, oh no.
Look,
So,
bring the tissues, bring the tissues.
yeah.
But also, I will just say, especially, it's been a week since the movie came out, so I'm okay with saying this, but I will say, if you are an animal lover, just be prepped.
Yeah, that's also kind of why I haven't seen it yet. I'm a little bit nervous to go and see it. So,
Less, I'll just say this. You hate this the villain, play wonderfully by God, I'm gonna butcher his name. I'm gonna pull it up real quick, but like he was also in Peacemaker. He was also in Peacemaker and stuff, and he was pretty good in Peacemaker, but played by Chudwudi Iwuya. I apologize if I just butchered that name. He is hateable. The most hateable MCU villain yet, and just like you literally want to like go to the screen and smack him down of just how much hateable he is and stuff. And yeah, I can understand the hesitancy and stuff because it is a bit heavy, but it's a good movie. You'll have a good cry.
Yeah, no, I don't doubt that. So,
Yeah, but we'll talk about spoilers next when Jamie gets around to seeing it. So, yeah, and speaking of something that we also have to do non spoilers for, Ted Lasso. We got a new episode of Ted Lasso, season 3, episode 9. And overall, I will say this episode was a lot funnier than I expected. Granted, there's this whole thing between two main characters, but they wind up resolving at the end. And then there's also one character that gives a really nice speech. Also, let's just say there's some stuff involving Nate that I'm not gonna lie, I really have dug his kind of character arc throughout it. It's somewhat of a redemption arc. I know some people have some issues. Yeah, this season's been really interesting, especially in terms of the criticism for it and stuff. Like, I'm not saying it's been perfect. The Keeley stuff, the Keeley and we know where this is going with the whole Keeley and Rory stuff. But like, for the most part, like I have dug this season and stuff, and I will say Nate's storyline has been very interesting, especially with Evil Giles. I'm sorry, Rupert. I just look, the reason why I call him Evil Giles is because of the Buffy connection, and I just look, I just.
I get it. It's very funny.
Yeah. All in all, though, I really like this episode. I can't wait for the next one. So yeah. Anyways, do you have any recommendations before we close out this week?
I don't have a recommendation, but the one thing I'm excited for that hasn't released yet but comes out tomorrow is the new Zelda game. Zelda Tears of the Kingdom comes out on the Switch tomorrow. And I'm very excited. I've been waiting like 6 years for this to come out.
Was that how long Breath of the Wild was?
Yeah, that's 2017, my friend.
Where has all the
So,
fucking time
I don't
gone?
know.
Where has the
Literally, my brother, me, and my younger sibling have all decided that tomorrow, after me and my brother get off work, he's coming over to the house. We're having a whole night of it, and we're gonna play and have fun. And we have it all set up, and then we're gonna play all day tomorrow or
Zelda
Saturday.
party.
Yeah, so if you don't hear from me for like 72 hours, this is why. So.
I'm trying to get in touch with Jamie about something, and it's like, hey,
It's gonna be a lot of fun. Breath of the Wild was such a well-done game, and it was very, very good, and it's still like probably the best, one of the best games I played on the Switch. And I have no doubt that Tears of the Kingdom is gonna be just as good, and just a little bit I've seen of it is it looks like so much fun, and it just looks beautiful. I love this art style that they're sticking with, to be honest. I know normally Zelda changes up the art style a little bit each game, but I like that they're kind of keeping it the same.
That's some nice consistency.
Yeah, and so it'll be fun. But yeah, that's what I'm looking forward to this week,
Nice,
tomorrow.
nice, nice,
So
nice. I'm just again, I'm just thinking it's all the party and stuff.
it's so funny because I was hoping my brother was gonna be able to come over because like. We literally had so much fun playing Breath of the Wild and literally made a whole thing out of it. And so I'm glad that we're still gonna be able to do that. It's gonna be fun.
Yeah, no, that sounds like a ton of fun, and I honestly can't wait to see. I honestly it's just I can't wait to hear your
And
thoughts
also,
on
I'm
it.
glad he's coming because those games are so hard at some point. So it's good to have like a really good gamer that can come over.
No. Again, I'm somewhat of a video game novice. Like, I just don't have time, but like.
No, yeah, you have to put a, especially those kind of games, though, and I feel like those would be the kind of games you would like. You would need to be able to put in a lot of time, so.
And I want to. It's just I don't have time
I
personally.
know.
But I support you, and I just I good luck with the puzzles.
Yeah. That, like, I don't know how many, there are so many shrines in Breath of the Wild, and I'm like so scared that there's gonna be just as many in this game. And you have to go all over the map, and the map is huge. It's not a small map, it's huge. And they have these like little island things up in the air now that I guess you can go to. So that's gonna be fun. So finding stuff is always a fun thing in this game. It's like, it's gonna be interesting. I'm excited though. It'll be fun. That's why I need him here, because we gotta figure out the freaking puzzles. And we gotta go through everything. So, it's gonna be a good time though. We'll have a lot of fun. I'm excited.
I know, but yeah. Well, anyways, that does it for our this week's show.
Yeah, sounds good, guys. So, feel free to follow us on all our social media platforms. We're on Twitter and TikTok, a combo with two geeks. We're also on Facebook and Instagram at Conversation with Two Geeks. And if you want to send us an email about anything from this episode or one of our previous episodes, we're at conversationwithtwogeeks@gmail.com. And the link to our Patreon should be in the description of the episode.
Anyways, see y'all in 2 weeks. Well, actually, well, technically next week if you're gonna watch the Spider-Verse episode, but in 2 weeks just in case. But anyways, see you next time, folks.
Bye.
Bye. Dude.